Luke's Gospel, chapter number 15. I'd like to start reading in verse number 1. There the King James Bible says, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners to hear him. The Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners, thank God, and eats with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost, until he find it? When he hath found it." Thank God he didn't say if it wasn't too far. It wasn't too cold, or wasn't too hot, or way too snaky. But he said, when he hath found it, he left it on his shoulders a rejoicing. Jesus gets happy. When he cometh home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, but notice he is at home. Saying to them, Rejoice with me, for I found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You may be seated this morning. I'm interested in the phrase, and go after that which is lost until he find it. And I want to preach this morning on the lost sheep in the hollow. The lost sheep in the hollow. You'll notice there's three texts in Luke 15. He deals with not only the lost sheep in the hollow, but he deals with the lost silver in the house. And then you'll find at the last of the text, the Sunday school message this morning, you'll find the lost son in the hog pen. I'd like to take this first parable Jesus said and use on this thought this morning, now this lost sheep in the hollow, and preach to you today on the shepherd and his sheep. You'll find in John's Gospel, chapter number 10, a great parallel gospel. John 10, chapter number 1, and there the Bible says, Verily, verily, or surely, surely, or awake, awake, or get your attention, please. I say unto you, He that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. The shepherd and his sheep, there's five little thoughts I'd like to share with you this morning. It'll be brief, don't let that scare you. Most of my thoughts are an hour at a time, so I don't have a 5-hour message. But I want to share with you this thought on the getting his sheep. The shepherd and his getting his sheep. Now, isn't it amazing that God used the Christian as a great illustration as a sheep? Not a goat. Not a hog. Not a dog. But a sheep. A sheep is a quite helpless animal. A sheep is an animal that needs a shepherd. And not only is he a helpless animal, but he's a harmless animal. He doesn't have much things to defend himself with.
Therefore, he is in uttermost need of the shepherd. This morning on the shepherd and his sheep, you'll find that he gets his sheep. How does he do that?
Well, you'll see in verses 1 through 3 that he came for his sheep. He said that anybody that climbs up some other way than the sheepfold, the same as a thief and a robber. Jesus is the door, the way, the truth, and the life. You'll find in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 15 and verse 22, he came for his sheep. There the Bible reads, Matthew 15 and 22, behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But getting his sheep, I want you to know that he came for his sheep. The Bible said in John's Gospel, chapter 10 of the text that I'm in verse 16, not only did he come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but thank God this is in my text. He said in verse number 14 of John 10, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. You'll see that he came for his sheep. Not only did he come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, but thank God he had some Gentile sheep. He said, other sheep I have which are not of this fold, but them also I must bring. Now notice, he said, other sheep I have. Not that I'm going to get. Not that if I can find them. But he said, other sheep I have. Now, I don't know if it's ever dawned on you or not, but if you're born again by the grace of God, you're a sheep. And you say, we've been given to the Son way a long, long before me and you ever come along. You see, thank God he said this, another sheep I have. Already have. Boy, I've been there a long time, didn't know it. He said, other sheep. Now this is getting his sheep. You'll see, first of all, that he calls his sheep. How does Christ reach me and you? Oh, by call. The Bible said that the sheep hear his voice, and he knows their name. Look, if you would, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 22. We read there that he came for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1. Let's go to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 1. Let's look at this call of the sheep. Now, if he's going to get his sheep, first of all, he came for us. He died for us. And I want to remind you this morning that he died for the sins of the whole world. When he hung on that old rugged cross, he died that mankind could go to heaven. For you see, the Bible said that hell was created for the devil and his angels. But however, through the sovereign plan of God, of which you and I cannot explain away this morning, he's always had his eye on the sheep. And we find that not only did he come for his sheep, but he calls his sheep. First of all, you'll notice he calls his sheep by name. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 16, the Bible said, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said to them, come ye after me,
and I'll make you become fishers of men. Then the Bible says, and they sat down and thought about it a little while, figured out wasn't much going on. They thought they'd just go with him. No. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. When he'd gone a little farther thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the ship, mending their nets. And straightway he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the ship, the hired servant, and went after him. He calls his sheep by name. Isn't it wonderful that you serve a God that's alive, that knows your name? He said, I know my sheep by name. They know my voice. And they thought, you remember the day that God called you? You said, the Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. Boy, I'm glad there came a time when God called my name. He used the Holy Ghost, and it was really clear what he said. He said, come and don't delay. Be saved. And so as that call goes out to the world this morning, he said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Oh, this morning I'm glad that there's a universal call. I'm glad there's an effectual call. I'm glad it's a personal call. That when Jesus calls our name, notice when he walked by the sea, he saw Simon and Andrew and said unto them, come ye after me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. This morning, the shepherd and his sheep, you'll find in getting his sheep, he calls his sheep by name. He calls them by a number. You see, we're all numbered sheep. The Bible said he left the 99 to go after that one. And I want to let you know this morning that the church is all numbered. I know when the Lord's coming back. I'm not going to write a book about it. But I do know when he's coming up, when that last Gentile bride is saved. Then we're church will be brought together as a whole, that last one that's saved by the day of grace. We're going to all go home to be with the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. Preacher, when's that going to happen? I don't know, maybe one of these children in this building, when they get saved, maybe that's the last one that's going to be saved for the rapture of the church. We're going to be called away out of here. You see, he calls us by name, but oh, he has us not only named, but he has us numbered. Well, I'm glad I'm just not a number, but I'm glad I'm a name. And so certainly the getting his sheep, he calls his sheep by name, by number. But then thirdly, not only does he call his sheep, but look in verse number 3 of that wonderful text in John 10. A lot of people read this text, just shake their head and skim over it, never would preach nothing about it. But in John 10 and verse 3, look what it says. He not only getting his sheep, did he came for his sheep, did he call his sheep, but he convinces his sheep. Now look in verse 3. To him the porter openeth. Who's the porter? Oh, it's the Holy Ghost. And the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. He leads them from dark to light. He leads them from death to life. You see, he convinces his sheep. He had me utterly convinced that I was dying and going to hell without him. And he said, fine, do you want to come and follow me? I said, I sure do, Lord. I'll do anything you want me to do. I've had a belly full. He said, oh, you don't have to do nothing. It's already done, been done. Just come follow me. You see, he convinces his sheep. Aren't you convinced that you were lost? If you're saved this morning, it's because of one reason, that the porter convinced you that you needed the shepherd. See, you'll never ever get saved until you get lost. And so notice this now, he convinces his sheep. He said in verse 3, and he leadeth them out. I like something else he says in John 10, verse 16. Boy, this is a very strong verse. You got your seatbelt buckled? Watch this.
And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I might bring.
Might's on a chicken. I must bring.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about I've got a shepherd get this sheep. I must bring. See, he went to the cross of Calvary and died for the sins of the world. Me and you don't know where the sheep are. He does. I wondered so many times how I escaped death. It's amazing, Brother Gerald, a boy raised on a farm even to get grown. That right, Brother Round, so many things. Cow kicking him in the head. Y'all look like you need preaching back here this morning. I'll just come back here and speak to you. But you see, the reason that you and I have been saved this morning is solely by one purpose, by the grace of God. He said, I've got sheep that I must bring. Now let me ask you something. Do you believe that God is above everything? You believe that He is God Almighty, as He said? Then He's bigger than anything. And you better be sure this morning that He's going to get His sheep. Now He gets them by different ways. He gets them, first of all, by the Word. The Word goes out and that call is made. He gets His sheep. He said, I must bring. They shall hear My voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. Boy, isn't that amazing? God had to go to an old rugged cross just to bring me and you home. You see, the shepherd and his sheep, that's the getting his sheep, but then secondly, the guiding his sheep. Verse 4 and 5 of John 10. Guiding his sheep. Oh, wasn't it something today you got under conviction? You ever wondered about this? This is what I've always wondered about. And I'm sorry, but I just got to say it because I believe it. I got so lost, I had to get saved. Now, if you can tell me this morning you could have kept from getting saved, you'd never got saved. Now, I've got to say that because I believe it. When He hangs you out over hell, it's a lot more than popping bubble gum coming up the aisle accepting Jesus. It's getting under Holy Ghost conviction, what our deacon talked about this morning. Realizing the Great One comes and arrests that soul. You know why He arrests that soul? Because He must bring them. He ain't going to lose one of them. Oh, I'm going to get way ahead of me in a minute. Boy, ain't you glad that you've got a Bible that tells you what He does forever? I must bring them. Even though I cuss a little bit, He's going to bring you. He may bust you upside your head. Oh, even though that I fall down and I make bad mistakes, don't matter, He's going to drag you. Oh, He may put you in the graveyard. He's going to bring you home. Because He come on a mission. See, this thing is a whole lot deeper than we think. And when you see these wonderful Bible truths, you know what you'll do? You'll pillow your head and say, thank you, Jesus, for your blessing. I must bring them, He said. Matter of fact, He said that, verse number 28, I give them eternal life, they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand. Oh, I'm glad I'm in His hand this morning. Why, you mean if I have a bad thought, I do something, why, much as I lose temper at my house, I'd be a lost man every day. By the grace of God. I know some of y'all are perfect, sitting out there with your little halos are glowing on your head. And none of y'all never do have problems in real life circumstances, but I do. I work out there in the real world, and I pastor a Baptist church. He said, I must bring them He said, "Can't nobody get them out of my hand because I got them." Oh, man, I'm glad I got a sovereign God this morning.
The getting his sheep, and then the guiding of his sheep, verse 4 and 5. "When he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." The guiding his sheep. First of all, you notice he guides personally. He says he goeth before them. Now the Easterners, they handle sheep different than the Westerners.
You take the Western farmers, they'll get a flock of sheep and they'll drive them. They got little dogs running around. But out in the Eastern country, this is what happens. That shepherd, he leads them. He'll sing to them, he'll cluck to them, he'll talk to them, and they'll follow him anywhere he goes. Why? Because they hear. He said they hear his voice and follow him. The shepherd that is getting his sheep, but now the shepherd that is guiding his sheep. He guides us personally. Notice what he says. He goes before them. He'll never lead you to a place that is not already there. I want to remind you of that. If he leads you to the funeral home next week, he's already there. If he leads you to another job next week, he's already there. Just be sure he's leading you. You see, when you wonder if he's leading you or not, I will assure you he's not. But he will make it clear when he's leading you. For he said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." You know, when you don't know what to do, the best thing to do is just don't do. When in doubt, don't. I think I need to change job. I had a preacher the other day call me and said, "Now, I think, Brother Ken, what happens when God's done with me at that church? How will I know it?" I said, "Well, how'd you know to go over there?" I said, "Did God tell you to go over there?" "Yeah." I said, "Well, he'll tell you when to leave. You won't have to call me and ask me about it." You see, this morning, he guides his sheep. He guides personally. And I must say, he guides very patiently. You see, he's leading all of us someplace toward home. But he guides patiently. A lot of times, there's no doubt that he sort of wishes we'd pick the pace up a little bit. He has to maybe stop. Are y'all coming or not? But he leads personally. We've got a shepherd. Notice when he told Noah, he said, "Come thou, the house and the ark." Come. That meant he was already there. He didn't say, "Go." He said, "Come." Remember what he said? "Come unto me, ye that are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest." You see, he's the great shepherd that leads his sheep. And all we are to do, quite honestly, is just to follow. So simple being a sheep. Just follow the shepherd. You see, he guides us. He guides us personally. He guides us patiently. But he guides us positively. I want to say something. Where he guides you to, he's already been there. He's the best at it. And wherever he's leading you to, it's for your good this morning. And for my good. Because he leads his sheep where they need to go. He's the good shepherd. The Bible says he's the great shepherd. And then the Bible speaks and says he's the chief shepherd. Wonderful shepherd. He guides his sheep. And then thirdly, you'll notice the shepherd and his sheep, the getting his sheep, the guiding his sheep. But in verse 9, you'll find the grazing of his sheep. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. He shall go in and out and find pastures." Pasture. You know, I love to see your children. Brother Philip and Sister Heather's little Madison picked me up the other day. "You watch what that child does." "Sure." And I won't do it for y'all's sake this morning, but She'll pull her shoes off at the porch step and take her socks off. You know what she does? She's out there on that pretty green grass just a step. I wish I'd get out there with her on Wednesday night. Squash my toes in that nice sod in the front. What's she doing? She's enjoying the green pastures. See the grazing of his sheep. He's got to take us to green pastures. They're wonderful. I was raised in the country. There's nothing like seeing a field that's been fertilized and kept and totally green, so lush, planted. You see, the grazing of his sheep.
He must take us to green pastures. But I will remind you sometimes, in getting down to that green pasture, oh, that great shepherd had to lead them out across the desert and some dry and barren places till they could get over there into that green pasture. And I want to remind you, when they've been reading around that saw briars and gravel grazing, been out there where nothing was at, when he gets them down there in that green pasture, they say, hallelujah, it's green pasture. You see, the psalmist David had this thought. He said in Psalms chapter number 23 concerning those pastures, we're talking about the shepherd and his sheep, the getting his sheep, the guiding his sheep, and now the grazing his sheep. He said, the Lord is my shepherd. He said, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He gives me rest down there. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Oh, the grazing his sheep. He wants his sheep real slick and pretty. I tell you, it's nothing like pretty fat sheep. And it's nothing as bad as old bony, straggly, old sheep that ain't been sheared and got that old stuff hanging off of them. There's briars, there's mud, there's waste, there's everything wadded all up in that old stuff, and they look awful. Boy, when you get some sheep that's been seen about, they are pretty sight. We went out there and Miss Renee wanted a picture of sheep. Well, we looked everywhere. Brother Mike comes and said, place in Atlanta, you can go and find you a picture. A man paints these pretty pictures of these sheep. He got there and, boy, it was some. It just didn't look real good. But then I got to looking and I said, boy, there's some I like. See, them sheep, they've been out there in them green pastures. They look good. They'll dress right. They'll talk right. They'll eat right. So God grazes his sheep. Aren't you glad that you got a shepherd that let us eat something last week? See, sheep eat cheap food. I noticed this morning in Sunday school, maybe tonight you'll understand a little more about me when you leave. Brother Mike, this morning, he was over in Luke 15. He said, now verse number 15, this is what all the sheep did. What are you talking about? Sheep eat sheep food. You ever went to down at the pet shop and had a big old German Shepherd dog and ordered him hog food? He won't eat it. Sheep eat sheep food. This is food this morning. And I can tell every time if you're eating or not when I say, now look at verse so-and-so. Some of you doing this? Well, I can tell you right now, you ain't eating too good. You got your mind on what's going to be on the table out yonder at the restaurant, at the Bulldog, or at Butler's Meal. It's about 10 minutes to 12. He ain't got the 2 points done yet. What are you saying this morning? I'm saying the shepherd grazing the sheep. And see, this is the thing about we're all human. When we eat real good, today I'll be honest with you. I pastored long enough, I knew our service would be sort of dry. 10 years ago, I'd done run, strained my voice out. I'd done got so disheartened because ain't nobody shouting.
Well, why? You sore fool. I told Brother Tim, I said, Brother Tim, let's let the sheep rest tonight during choir. He said, I done thought of that, preacher. I think that's how I said, a sheep's tired. I'm not one of these preachers who want to run you every night some words. You know, we got to take care of, we got to be at home first. But now, why did you say all that? I'm saying, oh, it's just natural. Once you eat big in the morning, you don't want a lot to suffer. I tell you what I'll do. I'll go down under Butler's meal. Somebody say amen. Brother Hired, you one of the few men I've ever seen can out-eat me. But I go down through that buffet, Mr. Carmay, and I get me about 3 chicken wings. I love chicken wings. Brother, I'll get me about 3 fried catfish. And I'll get me some beans and potatoes and some of that good homemade bread. Say amen right there, Brother Dean. Get me a big thing of salad and a big pitcher of sweet tea with extra lemon. And then, excuse me, just pull the window shades down. And I'll leave there about 1:30, get home at 2 o'clock, and you know what I'll do? I'll say, Miss Renee, cut the ringer off the phone. There's something in the back room calling me. I'll walk in the door Sunday evening, that bed says, Ken. And I'll go lay down on all that I eat. And I'll get up about 6 o'clock. Supper don't even really cross my mind. I'm still full. But the thing about it, we're all human and we've got to eat. We've got to eat physically, but most of all, we've got to eat spiritually. I've always believed this. When you go to church, y'all will always be able to leave and know you went to church. We ought to not get upset when everything's not swinging off the chandeliers. Folks, as human, I'm human. My voice is hurting me today, but I ain't pouting, I'm shouting. What are you saying? I'm saying, oh, the good shepherd, he's a grazing his sheep. Have you ever thanked him that he feeds you? Boy, ain't he good at it. I mean, really, isn't it wonderful? You'll drive for miles to eat right. You go get you a bad meal, I don't care if it's free, I won't go back. Amen. I mean, you take me down there and they don't know how to fry chicken. It's hard to mess up chicken. But some folks can. Grazing his sheep. Fourthly, oh, verse 10, look out. Guarding his sheep. Oh, he means a lot to him. Look what he says. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, to destroy. I'm come they might have life. They might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Guarding his sheep. He guards them with his life. He gives his life. Verse 13, the hireling fleeth, because he's a hireling who cares not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. The guarding his sheep. He guards us with his life, and he guards us with the experience. Aren't you glad God doesn't answer prayer sometimes? I prayed and laid and begged God to send me to a church one time, but now I can walk from here to Kansas City and say, hooray for Jesus. But Jamie, I didn't understand, son, why they wouldn't take me and Miss Renee. Miss Flo, I prayed, God, please, I'll give anything I've got, just let me go. Dorothy, thank God he didn't answer that prayer. Because you know what? He's a guarding sheep. He knows what me and you need. You remember the Hobbs preacher I have coming here sometime, Brother David, the big man from Alabama. I say that he raises hogs. He and his family one night was going eating and said he was going up the road. And all of a sudden he said, the Holy Ghost said, pull over right there and pray. He said, well, what? He said, pull over and pray. He said, preacher, I pulled over. I got my wife and children out on the side of the road and we began to pray. He said, we got up and got on praying. She said, honey, what was that all about? He said, I don't know, but God told me to get out of my truck and pray. He said, well, we got back in. And we got down the road about 3 miles. The road was full of cars. People killed, mangled. He said, Brother Ken, I believe with all my heart, God kept me and my young man out of that disaster that evening. You see, He guards the sheep. He thinks a lot of me and you. See, in Romans 8 and 28, turn over there in your Bibles. Sister Faye, if you'd come to the piano. Brother Ken, you'd get me a number this morning. A guarding sheep. Romans 8 and 28. For we know that all things work together for them that love God and are called according to His purpose. That's real close to what that verse says. All things. See, He's seeing about me and you. Why? Because He's the good shepherd. Oh, you think He would ever, ever let one of His little sheep get in trouble? Not without warning them. You've got a will in you. You've got emotion. So I'm going to tell you what, when the Holy Ghost does this, you better listen. That's the shepherd. Don't say that. Don't do that. Don't go there. Have you ever wanted to call your preacher and see if it was okay? And I want to tell you this, it's probably not. When in doubt, don't. You see, you've got to learn walking with God, following Him as the shepherd, that you go by liberty. Do you have liberty to do this? If not, leave it alone. Do you have liberty to do it? Well, the Holy Ghost that lives in you is giving you the liberty to do it. But Ken, what are you saying? I'm saying the shepherd and his guarding his sheep. Then lastly, the shepherd and gathering his sheep. I've never noticed this, but looking back over there to where I started, Luke 15, and I'll be done. Luke 15. The shepherd getting his sheep, guiding his sheep, grazing his sheep, guarding his sheep, but lastly, gathering his sheep. He said in 15 of verse 4, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And look here, and when he cometh home, where's home? Oh, it ain't here. All three of these parables, everything centered around the house, around the home. What are you saying? I'm saying the gathering of his sheep. The Bible said when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I found my sheep which is lost. I say to you likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents, for there over 99 just persons which need no repentance. I want to remind you one of these days, he's going to gather all of his sheep up into that one fold. Into that one flock, and it's going to be wonderful rejoicing. You're going to be so proud that he was your shepherd. The psalmist David said this quote, the Lord my shepherd. Is he your shepherd this morning? I want to tell you this, he died for you. And I want to tell you this too. You can open the doors of this church and every car that passed by since you've been listening to this message this morning. He died for them too. He said, the sheep I must bring. This morning, maybe you just want to gather around this altar and say, Lord, that preacher is exactly right. You protected me from some things and I didn't even know it at that time, but I want to thank you this morning that you are my guardian shepherd. Maybe you need direction in your life before you need to go. I'm going to tell you something. He can guide you this morning. See, you're His. He's concerned about you. He knows how to handle the situation. Just follow Him. So easy, just follow Him. Listen to Him. He guides by experience. He's done been there. I used to say, Daddy, why? That's one of the biggest things my children used to ask me, Daddy, why? Because I done been there. He loves us this morning.